Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
So you know how we've been talking a lot about burnout and seeing the doom scroll on LinkedIn about people losing their jobs suddenly and feeling like all these people are out of work and not sure what to do?
Yes.
Clearly, yes. I've been just thinking about like what are the craziest ways you could lose your job, and I've been listening to Foo Fighters a bit this week, and I realized like Dave Grohl lost his job overnight, right? Like Kurt Cobain died and that band ended.
Is this
right? Like, the band ended. Like there was, what do you do after that? Like obviously you're going to mourn your friend and bandmate and you go away for a while.
Sure.
So I kind of did like a little bit of reading. I mean, Dave Grohl ended up creating the Foo Fighters, one of the biggest bands on the planet, right? So I found this quote. He told Kerrang! Magazine, remember that? If there's anything I've learned, it's that you've got one life and you'd better live it as best you can. I'm not going to sit back and be some pitiful fucking mess. So the dude picked himself up. I forget how many months after everything happened, picked himself up, wrote a bunch of songs, booked 6 days in the studio and recorded an album. Released that album and basically launched a whole new career for himself. If that dude can do it, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
If he can do that, any one of us, any one of our friends can do it. You just have to find the inspiration. You have to figure out what it is you want to do and what is the mark you want to leave on the world. I feel like that's what he did.
6 days.
It's nuts.
That's, I got to read more about that. I had no idea.
I found an article. I'll share it in the show notes. I'll send it to you in Slack.
Okay. All right. That's well, I mean, what a way to start the show. Let's get into the huddle. What's been top of mind for you this week?
So for me, we launched the DPM summer school. So I am doing a 12-week cohort partnered with the Bureau. And teaching DPM's project management for humans. It's kind of like a mix of workshop, coaching, and being in a class for summer. So should be fun. We'll meet weekly for 12 weeks.
Okay. You should watch Summer School, the movie, when you're
love
doing
that movie.
This.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If I get to smack someone in the back and their face gets stuck like a Cabbage Patch Kid. Do you remember that part?
No.
The girl's face gets stuck in one space after she gets hit on the back, and so does her Cabbage Patch doll. It's ridiculous. It's like a thing that you learn when you were a kid. Anyway.
I'd say top of mind, I've been in Figma a lot this week, and Config is happening now, and they just released a bunch of product update announcements, which I can't wait to dig into. But I think it's been a week of in a design tool, which is always good.
Fun. Cool. Yeah. Well, let's get into this week's review. Before we get into your opinion piece, let's talk about the team angle topics. So everyone knows we're writing a book on the fly. We're actually about to really formalize that and turn the idea of a book into a real book and stop blogging about it. So that's exciting. But this week we posted about recognition. So celebrating small wins, how recognition builds resilient teams, and then building stronger teams through consistent recognition. So it really just is giving leaders, I think, a little bit of a sense on how to handle recognition and why it helps. But let's talk about your opinion column, When Vulnerability Backfires.
Yeah, so I was inspired by this because a couple weeks ago I was in a conversation with a new cohort of people that had never met before. And somebody shared, they said their name and they shared a bunch of stuff about themselves before we get to know them in any other way. And I know we all want to work with teams where people can be real, but in that, kind of standing back from that time, vulnerability in this case, like this person was being vulnerable, but it landed wrong. You know, none of us knew who this person was. Instead of building trust, it started to kind of put a blocker in front of that. And when that happens, it doesn't build a connection. It actually creates distance. And so I wanted to write about this and kind of call it out. But I also wanted to talk about how vulnerability isn't the problem. It's the timing, the tone, and what happens with trust that makes the difference. So it's the article is called When Vulnerability Backfires. I think in today's age, we've all been there. We've all kind of been in that group. And what's weird to me, I shouldn't say weird. What was weird to me in that moment is, like, what do you do? Right? And you just kind of move on, but it's just, I feel like it's, we got to address this and give people some thinking and tools on what do you do when this happens? So,
yeah.
Read the article, please. But let's get into some questions. So for you, where's the line between honesty and oversharing?
Where's
and I have a follow-up question for that.
The line between honesty and oversharing. It's hard to define that. I mean, I think to me, honesty is about being transparent about if we're talking about in the workplace, right? Like,
yes,
honesty is related to anything that's happening to me that might impact my work. Or I think there was an example in your article about a person sharing privately, like, hey, I have a health issue, letting each person on the team know that. Like, to me, that's honesty. That's not oversharing. I think oversharing is getting into the details that you really don't need to concern people with.
So who draws that line? Is it the person sharing it? Is it the team? Like, where do you establish what works and what doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a person on a person by person basis. I mean, I think your article is telling people, like, hey, you shouldn't be oversharing this like this, because people have done that. You know, just because you want to be vulnerable and open and create a space that's psychologically safe, that doesn't mean that you have to overshare. It's more about the essence of sharing what's important to the team to make sure that everyone knows where you're coming from and why. It's not the details of that thing. And only the person who is going through that thing and has to communicate that thing can determine what an overshare is. What an overshare, like what I deem as an overshare, might not be the same to you or the person who's delivering that news.
Yeah. And I think just to help with the clear up the conversation for anybody listening, it's there is how much do you share, but it's also like the timing too. Right. And in this case, what inspired this article was that in the introductions of people who did not know each other from Adam, this person shared essentially medical information about themselves right after their name. Right. Like, we haven't even really started getting into like why this group is here. And all of a sudden this thing is put out on the table. So I bring this up because I want to ask you, because yeah, I know you have, but when have you been in a room when someone shared too much too soon?
Well, I just want to kind of backtrack for 1 second, because I think there's a little confusion in that statement between oversharing and vulnerability and identity. When it comes to healthcare concerns and things like that, that can become a part of your identity. It can feel like something that is either being held against you or something that might cause you to behave differently from everyone. So some people might seem like they're wearing it like a badge of honor, right? But it might just be that they've been burned enough by it that they feel like they have to put it out there. So,
right.
But again, like it can, that doesn't mean that it doesn't feel awkward when you're in that room and that person, the first time you're meeting them, dumps all this info on you. Again, timing is everything.
Yep.
I forget your question now. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just asking you when can you think back when this happened in a group setting that you were in? And how did that have an impact on the group dynamic?
I'm trying to think of a time personally it's happened to me. I think that I've never been in the situation where I've just met someone or just started working with someone and they dump all of that out there. I've been in situations where in a meeting, someone might overshare something that makes it feel like, hey, maybe that's a conversation you shouldn't have had with everyone. Maybe not personal, but like, hey, this is like a group I feel safe with. This is our tree of trust. Let me shit all over this person with you now. Like, to me, that's the same difference as making an awkward statement about like your personal life or your health or something. That's like trying to practice that vulnerability in a space where it really doesn't feel comfortable, especially if you're thinking about a manager to a team member. So again, I think it's appropriateness of the information that you're putting out there and the timing of it.
So as a follow-up then, what is the role of the leader when personal disclosures or like the incident you just mentioned, when that comes up, what should the leader be doing?
So this was actually my favorite part of your article, where you basically said that leaders should kind of like normalize acknowledgement without overreaction. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe that's what you said, but basically like a simple response, like, thank you for sharing that. Glad you're here. I loved that, right? Because that can like hold the space while keeping things on track, recognizing that you said a thing, maybe not recognizing the awkwardness or not making it feel awkward. It's not about shutting down that vulnerability. It's really about kind of like shepherding everyone through that moment without freezing in it.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like that a lot.
Can you think of a time when vulnerability was done well, where it built trust instead of breaking it or distracting from it?
Yeah. So I worked with I had a manager way back who opened one of our team meetings by basically just saying like, hey guys, like I'm burnt out. And it wasn't like an excuse. It was more of just like, I want to give you context. And they didn't cry. They didn't overshare. They didn't make it about them. They basically just said, I'm not 100% this week. I want to be honest about that. If I seem distracted, I am. And I appreciate your patience, right? Like, it wasn't like a big deal, a big issue. But to me, that was meaningful because it changed the energy of the team. Like, I think it gave everyone permission to stop trying to push through things and recognize when things just weren't right personally and as a team. I don't know. It felt like the kind of vulnerability that it was intentional. It was grounded. That person opened the space for us to have a little conversation, and then we moved right on into business. Like, it wasn't something that we really got stuck on. Mm-hmm. But I also felt like maybe it was their way of. I just gave that person up. No, it was that a way for that person to kind of almost test like, am I alone here in this? Right. Because I think a lot of times as a manager, you can feel alone in it and you might feel responsible for your team. But if you don't see that other people are acting burnt out seemingly, then it might be time to take a temperature check. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think that also works because that person in that moment called out what they're going through, but not the why. You know, and if you think back to the conversation, the setting that I was in, it could have just easily been something to say, hey, I'd love to talk to each of you, you know, to have that private conversation, to maybe invite that time to share more personal information, mm-hmm. more detailed information. But, you know, to simply say, maybe, you know, as we work together, I might need more time to complete things, or just something that keeps it at a high level instead of just blah, here's all the details.
Yeah.
Right.
Vulnerability is tough at work. Like, have you ever had a situation where you shared something because you had to, and then you felt so weird about it, or like had a weird reaction in sharing something? I have. I can tell a story really quick.
Yeah.
When I was at Happy Cog, we were going through it. My mother-in-law had cancer, and things were really tough. And she was caring for our kids twice a week. And so it changed a little bit of like my home life, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was impacting work. It was also highly emotional. And so I had to tell Greg Hoy about it, and I started crying, which I'd never done at work before. And like, I don't know. I felt like, to this day, I cringe when I think about that moment, but it's like, he was cool about it. Of course he was. How could you not be in that situation? But I think just as a human being, experiencing yourself being that vulnerable to a point where you bring yourself to tears, it's like it's a weird experience that you kind of put yourself through. And especially thinking back on it, like I get a little tensed up.
I don't think I've had that kind of interaction, but I have shared things. I have been vulnerable beyond what I normally would have been, not for me, but for somebody else who I knew was going through something similar, but wasn't able to say it out loud.
Absolutely.
And that is where it kind of feels like, okay, well, it made me feel, made me feel weird, because I thought, well, now people think I can't like hold my shit together in that area because they just expressed vulnerability. When I didn't do it for me, I did it for somebody else. So
interesting.
That's my weird part.
But doing that for someone else means that you're a good colleague or a leader, because you're trying to relate to that person and make them realize that everything's going to be okay.
Well, I know that, but then it's like, then you get people responding to you differently. And that's the only thing that comes to mind.
That is definitely a side effect of vulnerability, is the way people handle you from that point forward.
Yeah. And that's to tie this up. That's kind of the whole point of this, right? It's not in not to say like, don't be vulnerable. That's one of the few things we actually always have agency over. Well, I should say to some degree. But it's just choosing the time and the place. And I've got another piece that's related to this that's coming about time and place is so important with these things.
Cool.
So let's get into the ask for this week. Kind of speaking of vulnerability, what are we asking our listeners for?
Yeah. So first, I want to mention that we are going to start sending the field report monthly rather than weekly, right? And this week we sent an email asking for a response, and we're going to ask the same of our podcast listeners. So basically, this is the question: are you in survival mode, or are you living your best life? So if you had to pick a number, are you a 1, just surviving, or are you a 10, besting? Maybe you're a 3, maybe you're shy of an 8. I told Greg I was 4 the other day. I was totally just joking. But we've gotten some responses to this. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see where people are. And I would love to kind of like report back on this. So write to us. What is it? High5@sameteampartners.com.
Oh, that works. All hands.
We have 14 email addresses for 2 people.
Yeah.
Just respond. We would love to hear how you're doing. We're not going to share your direct response with anyone. It's really just a little like informal survey to see how people are doing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the hit list. What do you have this week?
My first one is watching. I watched the new A24 film Warfare. which is really interesting because there's no backstory, there's no character development. It just puts you in the middle of a real situation that happened in Iraq. Very, very interesting, very powerful movie. Probably the only one I will actually go back and listen to the commentary, just because it just dumps you right in and just then, you know, when it's done, it's done. Very interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. My first is also watching. I went and saw Sinners in the theater. I don't know if you've heard about this one, but it was really good. It's not like my type of movie. I definitely was like, okay, this is a historical drama, and some movie studio executive was like, we need more vampires, because like all of a sudden vampires come into the story. But there's a lot, like when you really, like, it makes you think, and when you step back and you think about it and you look at all of the interesting societal themes, it's pretty cool. Also, I've seen that it's done better than any horror movie in the past 10 years.
Really good movie.
I definitely recommend. Check it out.
Yeah, I was really curious when I saw that you put that in there. So, okay.
Yeah.
My next is a blog post that I wrote called It's Time We Stopped Asking for Vases. And it is a perspective on how I see a lot of people using AI and maybe not using it in they could be using it in a better way, I guess is the way I'll put it. And it has a lot to do with how much bias that we bring into, and this can be said about anything, but how much bias we bring into our everyday work. And so check it out. Then the vases will make sense to you.
Cool. My next is listening. Surprise, surprise. I'm listening to the Foo Fighters self-titled record. Relates to the conversation we had earlier.
Yeah. Is this the one that was recorded in 6 days?
Yep. Yeah, okay. The first one.
Okay. So my last one this week is I'm reading the new book by Ezra Klein and Derek Thompson called Abundance. And it's a, excuse me, it's a very centrist look, or I see it as a very centrist look at kind of how America got to just kind of where we are with jobs and the market, and talks about how regulation, we're potentially over-regulating our ways, ourself in different perspectives. That's kind of got us stuck in this spot we are, and how if we would just remove our bias and think about things differently, we, you know, a lot of the problems that we have would be gone.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. My last two, I'll just rattle them off since you don't have any more, is they're both articles I wrote. So the first one is Project Management Isn't Dead. AI just made it more human. So I kind of dug into AI and how project managers are using AI, tested some tools, tested some prompts, and then basically just wrote about it. So that's what's there. And then the next one is thinking about going out on your own, read this first. So I get so many people asking me, I even got a request today, Greg, to do a presentation, for fractional leaders about running your own business. And in this article, I'm pretty much like, yeah, I don't really give that kind of advice, but here are the things that I would tell you based on my experience, because I'm not going to tell you I'm the one who's doing it the best or the right way.
It's interesting how people focus on, to me, the way wrong things when it comes to owning their business.
Yeah.
Right. It's typically the things that are the easiest to deal with. And they don't see all of the, so I'm glad that's also, I'm glad that you wrote about this.
I mean, it's also a reaction to all of these people losing their jobs, coming into a job market, not being able to find jobs, and pivoting into my own thing, quote unquote. So
yeah, coaching.
Yeah, just a little bit of a word of warning. Yeah. Yeah. Coaching. Everyone's a coach.
Everyone's a coach. All right. Well, let's wrap up this episode with our high five. What are we high fiving this week?
So we are, or you are, putting the finishing touches on our next playbook. We're releasing a playbook all about one-on-ones and how to do them better. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's really robust and well-rounded, and I think it's a really good piece of work that we collaborated on.
Yes, it is. And this will be, it'll be up next week. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Happy to see it get out into the world. Exactly. Get your credit card ready. Because we don't take American Express. Maybe we do. All right. Have a good week.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Beth and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and submit a review. Thank you.